Good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. God is so great. Greatly to be praised. Amen. Just can't get over how wonderful the Lord is to each and every one of us this morning. God bless you. You may be seated. We're going to have a very special occasion this morning. One of the, out of the many pastoral duties and things that you do, this kind of seems to kind of rise up there somewhere near the top. I won't say it's the greatest, but it's awful fun to do. And that's the dedication of children to the Lord.
Oh, yes. Amen.
Amen. Amen. How many of us know it's just more than a ceremony?
Amen.
It's more than pomp and circumstance. It's a heartfelt commitment to raise that child in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Amen. Oh, that moms and dads all over the world could realize the importance, the great importance, and the benefits of raising our children to serve the Lord. And so doing this this morning, we have Lane and Lindsay Maynor, who has heard that call, and they are coming today to dedicate their child, Harper Renee Maynor, to the Lord. So let's give them a hand as they come forward this morning. Beautiful family. Now, if your family want to gather around up front, you can too, if you want to take pictures and all. I know this is a wonderful time. Did I get the pronunciation right?
Yes.
Harper Renee. Yes. That's beautiful. That is so pretty. Amen. Lane, I say she favors you both, but I believe she's a little prettier than you are.
Look at her smile. Oh, yeah, she liked that,
didn't she? She liked that. You know, the Bible says that Hannah bare a son and called his name Samuel, and she brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh to Eli, and she said, "For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition. Therefore I have granted him to the Lord as long as he liveth." And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did not let none of these words fall to the ground. In the New Testament, we read concerning the infant Christ, that when 8 days were fulfilled, they called his name Jesus, and they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and he received him into his arms and blessed God and said, "Now let thou thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." And his father and his mother were marveling at the things which were spoken concerning him. And the child grew and waxed strong, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. The Bible tells us and teaches us in Proverbs 22:6 to train up a child in the way that he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. The Lord said, "I know Abraham, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. These words which I command thee this day shall be upon thy heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." This is a happy occasion, but it's also a significant occasion which brings us together. Just like Mary and Hannah of old, you have brought your child to the temple today to present her to the Lord. You have heard the invitation of the Master, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." It is fitting that you should bring your child while the spell of her advent is still upon you. The mystery and wonder of this new life have brought you to stand reverently and thoughtfully before the Father of all life, and have given to you a new and compelling message of the dignity of life and the obligation of parenthood. This purpose of this service is to help you, as parents, to appreciate your obligation, so as to train your child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, that when she shall come to the age of responsibility, she will most naturally turn from the wrong into the right, and accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. God has a purpose for this child's life. To find that purpose and to live it out fully will mean success. To refuse or ignore it will mean failure, no matter how much worldly acclaim may come. Parents, it is your privilege and duty to guide your child in such a way as to make the will of God the greatest ambition of her life. To this task, you are called to consecrate yourselves today. To this end, you dedicate your child to God in accordance with the purpose for which you have come will you respond to the following covenant? She has not taken her eyes off of me. I'm telling you what, that's... If I could get the entire congregation to be as attentive to you, or I tell you, that would be great. Parents, this is to you. Do you now present your child before God in solemn dedication? Do you consecrate yourselves as parents to bring up your child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? Do you promise to instruct her in the teachings of Jesus Christ and in the practice of prayer, and to guide her in the development of a Christ-like character? Do you promise to try to the best of your ability so to shape the home life of your child, both by family devotions, by your words, and by your example, that she will at the proper age most naturally come to an open confession of Christ and into the fellowship of the service of the church? Inasmuch as you have promised before God and this people to dedicate your child to God and yourselves to the task of rearing her for God, I charge you to address yourselves faithfully to this sacred obligation with wisdom, patience, and devotion. And to this end, may the blessing of God rest upon you. Well, she's looked at me from a distance. Let's see how she does at close quarters. Now you call Harper over now.
God, for the blessing, God, that you have given Lane and Lane. Father, we anoint her. We pray your blessing upon her. I pray that your Holy Spirit would lead and guide her throughout the remaining part of her life. God, that you would place a calling upon her life to lead her and guide her and direct her in the steps that you would have her to take. Father, I pray for this mom and this dad, God, that you would give them the wisdom, the knowledge, the patience, and the love, God, in the rearing of this precious child for your service, that she will, at that most proper age, again, we dedicate her life to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Miss Harper, since you've done so good, you get a little certificate.
Oh, that was precious. That was precious. I don't know if y'all can see the expression on her face, but it was glued, I tell you. Amen. They just don't come any sweeter, do they? Amen. Precious little children. No wonder Jesus said you must become as a little child. Amen. Well, we got anybody in the house this morning that loves the Lord? Give him a hand clap of praise. Amen. There's a song that says, I like to feel like I feel when I'm feeling like I feel right now. I'm not going to sing it. I'm just going to kind of introduce you to it. But that's kind of the way I feel this morning. I feel so energized. I feel so good this morning. Somebody said, well, may it have something to do with the sun? And I don't know. I think it has more to do with the S-O-N than the S-U-N. Because he let me wake up this morning. Amen. He's given me the assurance that he will never leave me nor forsake me. So it is a sunshiny day. Amen. If you would turn with me to the book of St. John this morning, we want to bring the message to you from the 12th chapter of the book of St. John. John chapter 12, beginning with verse number 44. And thank you for standing for the reading of God's word. St. John chapter 12, beginning with verse number 44. Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Can we bow our heads? Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, God, for your Holy Spirit. We're thankful, God, for this day and this time, the opportunity that you've given us. Not only the opportunity, but the desire together today, God, in one mind and one accord to worship and glorify and praise your name. Thankful for each and every one, God, who has entered into these doors this morning. And I pray, God, that you would just open up that window of heaven today, God, and pour out a special anointing and a blessing upon this congregation. Father, I ask humbly that you anoint these lips of clay this morning, God, to give me the words to speak, God, what you would have us to hear this morning. Father, I pray that you would touch those who are in need of prayer, those who are sick, those who are afflicted. Father, especially those who are lost in this world today, I pray, God, that you would pour out your Spirit upon them, draw them to a old-fashioned altar of repentance. Father, we ask your blessings in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise, if you would. Amen. That sounds so good. Amen. In fact, I hope you enjoy doing that, because that's going to be your duty for eternity, is to give the Lord praise and honor and glory. Amen. I don't know about you, but I got a lot to thank him for. It's going to take me an eternity. Amen. It's going to take me a long, long time just to thank him and to praise him for every prayer he's answered, for salvation, for just coming and completing that mission from the Father. It's going to take me a while. Amen. This morning, if I had a message title, it would be simply Speak Life. Speak Life. Many realizes that there is a powerful weapon contained in each body. Now, it's not your biceps, it's not your fist of anger, nor your irate anger, but it's that tongue. That tongue that is within us. Seemingly one of the last members to be tamed, by the way. The hardest member to be tamed. I have been awakened this week, and I use that word literally. I have been awakened by the Word of God and by His Spirit and by His anointing. When you begin to pray, Father, get me more into your will, be ready, because He'll do it. Man, it may not always be pleasant. May not be the honey-coated word that you might want to hear, but it'll be what you need to hear. And I thank God for speaking to us in this day and hour that we're living in. I thank God that His voice is higher than the chaos of the world. It's louder, amen, than the perverseness that's going on around us now. Even as we stand here in this tabernacle today to glorify and praise God, we know that evil and sin is rampant in the world, but I know one that's greater than all of that. I know one that's greater than Satan. I know one that's greater than all of the evil and the perverseness that's in this land today. And let me tell you something. If we ever needed to hear from God, it's the day and hour that you and I live in. And let me just go ahead and say, if we think the only time that we need to hear from God is on Sunday morning, we're missing out on countless blessings. I don't know about you, but I need to hear from Him every day. I need to speak with the Lord, and I need to have Him to come in and tell me and lead me and guide me and instruct me and counsel me. And I thank God that He does that. And I here we find that, let's just look back for just a moment, if we may, this morning. The word life here in the Hebrew is the word Zoe, Z-O-E. It refers to life in the spirit and soul as opposed to physical life. It's amazing today when when we began to speak or talk to people and we say, how's your life going? They immediately began to tell you the physical things that's going on in their life. How that maybe their job is better. How that maybe their opportunity is better. Maybe they're at a better place in life than they've ever been before. But seemingly most times when you give that open-ended question, a lot of people fill that in with the things that are physically or physically desired in their life and the things that help them as far as getting along in this world. But I believe here that the Lord reiterates how important it is to have that spiritual life. Amen. Because I've read in the Word of God that you can have spiritual life when you don't have any material things whatsoever. And the greatest of these things is in fact that spiritual life, that anointing, that Spirit of God that comes to take up His abode in our life and in our bodies to lead us and to guide us. And here it is, it's 6 days before the feast of the Passover. Jesus visits some people that He has grown accustomed to visiting when He goes in to the city of Bethany. He comes to the house of Lazarus and Martha and Mary. That fact where the Lazarus had been raised from the dead. And I know that caused quite a disturbance in and around the city of Bethany. So needless to say, if Jesus is coming back to Bethany 6 days before the feast of the Passover, I would imagine there was some excitement in the community. I don't know how far in advance they announced it. I don't know how the news traveled in that day. But in today's time, you probably begin to start announcing that a month or two before the actual event would take place. And just from recent this week or the past week, there's been an enormous amount of excitement around my house. And the event has not taken place yet. It was just the announcement that George Strait is coming to Atlanta. Needless to say, the excitement was never felt from me nearly as much as the other person that lives in my house. She is quite carried away with this event, already checked into the prices, and I don't know, she says, man, I'd like to go, but that sure is high. But just the fact that she's already thinking she's wanting to go, I can see her probably scraping up enough money to go see George Strait. And she begins to say, do you think you want to go? And I said, no, I don't have any interest in going. She said, well, maybe I can afford it then. I don't know, but Jesus was coming to Bethany and it created a lot of excitement and people that knew that Lazarus was dead and was now raised and from the dead and was able to go on and carry on his everyday life. And I would imagine many of those people had needs and many of those people had situations. And when it was announced that Jesus was coming to Bethany, it began to create a crowd, and a crowd was there when Jesus came into Bethany. And the Bible tells us that there were Greeks there, there were the Jewish community there. They were even chief rulers of the synagogue that was there. And Jesus took this opportunity to begin to preach and teach to this congregation. And He didn't preach healing, although He's a healer, but He began to preach life everlasting. As I told you early on the onset of this message, there's been an awakening in my spirit this week. An awakening that we know the truth. Amen? If you know the truth will set you free. Are you glad you know the truth? Amen? If you know the truth, nobody can sway your opinion or sway your adamant belief in the truth. We know the truth. But the awakening was, have I presented the truth the way that Jesus would present the truth? My spiritual attitude, has it been right? Has it been meek? Has it been true? And has it been in the mind of Christ? Because here was an opportunity
for Jesus to condemn the Pharisees. Here was an opportunity for Jesus to begin to tear down the Greek belief. Here was an opportunity for Jesus to declare the sinful nature of all of these people who were gathered around. But he took this opportunity and he even told them, I am not here to judge you, but I am here to speak life to you. I am here to testify and to tell you about life everlasting. And it began to stir my spirit, and it began to weigh heavily upon me, and I said, Lord, help me to present to those who don't know you in such a manner that they'll have a desire to serve you. Help me not to turn people off. Help me to turn people on to you. Help me to present the message. Help me to present the gospel in a way that they will be receptive. And the word kept coming to me, and Brother David, I'm so glad you're here this morning, because you had this same revelation several months ago when you was praying, asking the Lord, how should I witness? What should I say? How can I reach them? And we expect a long answer from the Lord. And as David is my witness this morning, he said the Spirit spoke to him and said, just love them. Just love them. When you love them, you're not condoning what they're doing. When you love them, you're not compromising their lifestyle. When you're loving them, you want to see them come out of the world that they're living in and accept Jesus Christ and live a holy and righteous life before God. Because if you really love them, you want them to have everlasting life. Oh, my heart's desire is that every person here in this city, here in this community, and even further in the outreaches of the nation, I wish that they could understand that they can have life everlasting and still enjoy the benefits of this life. For too long, people have said, folks, amen, that have salvation can't be happy. They can't have joy in their life. I'm here to tell you this morning, that's a lie from Satan. If you born again, you ought to be and should be the happiest person in this world, because you understand that God is not only blessing you now, but wait till you see what he has in store for those who have been born again. 6 days before the feast of the Passover, you Bible readers know what began to transpire after the feast of the Passover. Jesus knew that his time was near. He spoke of it here. He said, you will not always have the light with you. So many of his followers did not really understand exactly what he was referring to until after the fact, when Jesus Christ was apprehended, when he was taken and beaten and crucified, and then was buried in the tomb, and then rose again victorious. Then they began to put it together. This is what Jesus was referring to. Jesus took this opportunity to teach the large crowd who were gathered to see him and to see Lazarus. I want to reiterate what he said. He said, I am come a light into the world, that only certain people who believeth on me, that only the Jewish people, whosoever. You want to be blessed? Put your name where whosoever is. I'm a whosoever. Amen. Are you a whosoever today? Aren't you glad? Amen. Are you a believer today? Glory to God. I want to take you a little step further. Amen. Because I want you to understand. Amen. Sometimes the world will just have you to know, just believe. But I believe there's another word that's followed up on that belief. Amen. We know that we have to have faith to believe him. And we know we have to believe him. But I want to share something just a little bit later with you. But right now, whoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. If you're a believer, you have no business in darkness. Amen. If you're a believer, God has delivered you out of darkness. If you are a believer, you don't have to be bound by Satan's by his ploys anymore. Amen. You have been loosed. You have been set free. It's time that we begin to operate in the Spirit of the Lord, just like we've been set free. Amen. The reason that I feel so good today is because I have been set free. I was bound one time, but no longer am I bound. Amen. Like a bird as flew, amen, out of the prison wall. The Lord has delivered me, and I'm thankful for that. Glory to God. And if any man, woman too, hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. Can I tell you an alarming fact? We may not want to admit it as saints, as righteous believers, but can I tell you that if we listen to the world today, not condoning the world, not compromising the world, but if we listen to the world today, many in the world would say that the church has become too judgmental. Come on. Amen. The way that we have presented the truth, back up from the truth. You don't apologize from the truth. You never compromise the truth. But I believe there's a way to present the truth. And if we're presenting the truth with a judgmental spirit, I'm wondering how effective that is. But if we present that truth with love and humbleness and meekness and long-suffering, and those are the attributes that Christ exhibited when he walked on this earth, and he tells us to be ye holy, for I am holy. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. I do believe there is a way, amen, to tell folks that you can have life, and you can have life everlasting, but you also got to know that you can't continue the lifestyle. You can't continue the disobedience. You can't continue living for the flesh. You have to live for the spirit. It is not your flesh that is going to have eternal life, but the soul of man. And this is what needs to be fed today, is the soul of man. I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. Let me tell you, I'm not discounting the fact that judgment will come. Do not be confused. Judgment will come, but it doesn't need to come from me. I'm not qualified to be a judge. The only thing I'm qualified for is to be a servant. That's what minister is. One who attends to the needs of others. One that is a voice crying in the wilderness. One that is telling the world, repent, turn from your evil, turn from your wicked ways, and let Jesus Christ be Lord and Savior of your life. You'll be so glad you did, not only here, but especially in eternity. There is a judge. There is a judge. I'm not the judge. Jesus said, I'm not here to judge you. I'm here to save the world. I'm here to preach everlasting life and make it so attractive and make it so lovable that people will desire to have the Spirit of the Lord come into their life. And it must be done with love. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. The Word was with God. Amen. That same Word will judge us. Amen. Listen, I want an ambassador who stands in for me. That's the reason I have accepted Jesus Christ. That's the reason that I understand, amen, what the blood of Jesus can do. Amen. What the blood of Jesus will do. But it takes to being submissive. It takes to being obedient. It takes coming to an altar of confession and asking Jesus Christ to come into our life. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. Hallelujah. If anybody had an opportunity to glorify and preach himself, it would have been the Son of God, Jesus. But he said, I'm here on a mission. I'm here because the Father has sent me. I'm here to declare unto you that you can have everlasting life. He has expressly told me what to say and what to speak. And we need to take note of what the words of here of Christ has spoken to us. Aren't you glad that Jesus came with love in His heart? Aren't you glad He didn't come with a judgmental spirit? With vengeance in His heart and in His eyes? Had He done that, none of us would have been able to say that I'm born again. If He came to completely wipe out humanity and everyone who had sinned, not a one of us would be able to stand before the judgment seat of God and said, I am spotless, I am clean. We all know our past. We all know the things that have happened in our life. And I, for one, am so glad when I stand before that judge, I'm going to point to the cross, and I'm going to point to Calvary, and I'm going to point to the resurrection, Lord. And I'm going to tell you, I'm not here because I'm good. I'm here because He's good. I'm here because I acknowledge my sin. I'm here because I'm repentant of my sin. I'm here because I invited Jesus Christ into my life. I'm here because I received everlasting life through Christ Jesus. Not through denomination, not through church row, not through the pastor's shaking of hand. Amen. But a born again experience with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, that the world could grasp it. Oh, that our loved ones could understand it and believe that Jesus is such a loving Savior. It's not His will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Hallelujah. I wonder if churches really maintain that ideology. Have we become selective in who we witness to? Have we become hateful in leaving out certain folks that we don't feel like there's hope for them? Can I tell you, I'm so glad Jesus didn't look at me and say He's hopeless. Aren't you glad? Humanity may have, friends may have, family may have, but not Jesus. Jesus said, no, I came so that you could have everlasting life. I came so that you could be in glory with me. I came not to condemn you. I came not to present judgment upon you, but to show you everlasting life. Speak life. That's what Jesus, the Spirit of the Lord, spoke to me this week. Speak life. Boy, it's easy to speak death. It's easy to spew hatred. It's easy to speak condemnation. You know what? I think a lot of folks, I'm not saying saved folks, I'm just, I've noticed this. You know, I don't want to be offensive with this, but it's something I acknowledge. Proverbs, he acknowledged a lot of things. Some of them were kind of offensive. But I've noticed that some people, how can I say this? Anointed, Lord. Some people will hang around less attractive people. That certainly sounds a lot better than ugly, don't it? Thank you, Lord. Less attractive. Just because it makes them look better.
Is that the reason you love me, bro?
He likes to hang around women now and makes them look better. That's not what Christianity is about. What consolation is it when in your spirit you say, maybe not outwardly, but you say or you think it, I'm glad I'm not like him.
Come on,
I'm glad I'm not like her.
Lord, help us.
I thank my God I'm not like this man.
Come on,
pay my tithes. I go to church. I do this. I do that.
Come on, brother.
And the poor one might say, he's praying, Lord, I'm a sinner.
Come on.
Have mercy on me. I'm nothing. Lord, I'm just as lost as I can be. And here's that holier than thou beating on their chest saying, I think I'm not like him. But by the grace of God, you are him.
Amen.
But by the grace of God, we are like that. But through the grace of God and through the teaching of everlasting life, I realize that I don't have to stay a sinner. Amen. My sins can be and will be forgiven if I come openly before the Lord and confess them and ask Jesus to wash them away. Speak life. Speak life to a person who's so distressed. And anxiety has gripped them to the point that they can't even see tomorrow. And rather than you wagging your head and say, poor pitiful you, speak life into that person. Speak hope into that person. Tell them it doesn't have to be this way. Amen. I know somebody that can deliver you. Oh, what's his name? You won't find him in the doctor's who's who. Amen. But you will find him in the word of the Lord. Jesus can and will deliver you this morning. Speak life into that situation. Give them hope. Give them a reason, amen, to look up to the Lord. And even speaking life to ourselves sometimes, it's very beneficial. And when we're so down and out, begin to get the word of God and speak life into our spirit. Many Jewish rulers, as well as Greeks, were in the audience. They liked what they heard. I've heard people say, man, I know what the Bible says. And I know, preacher, you're telling me the truth, but I just don't know if I can do that. I just don't trust myself. I don't think I can live that life. You can't. Not by yourself. Not a one of us can. So they're already speaking death to themselves rather than speaking life. And those Greeks, they wanted to see Jesus. Who is this Jesus? And many who were in the audience were chief rulers, people of prominence in the Pharisaical court, if you would, in the synagogue, held an office, were respected. And the Bible says in verse 42, nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him. I believe if you took a survey today, you would be probably somewhat amazed at how many believers are in the world. Well, there's some that are agnostic. There's some that are that will speak and spew out hatred and venom. But the majority, I believe, believes there is a deity. And many of these so-called chief rulers also believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him. I think it takes little more than just believing. Amen. I know you have to believe, but they would not confess him. I believe what you're saying. I buy what you're saying. But the reason they would not confess him was because they should be put out of the synagogue. Listen, if this doesn't ring true. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Well, Brother Eddie, I just really can't make a commitment right now because the group that I hang with probably would disown me. What if the group you hang with was saved because of your commitment? When you went back to them and you spoke life to them. And you begin to explain to them and exemplify to them what a glorious change and transformation has taken place in your life since you openly confess that Christ is a Savior and Lord and had Him to come into your life. You might be the one responsible for your entire group to be born again and have everlasting life. Rather than whether or not they're going to accept you or hang with you anymore. Speak life. When you testify, speak life. When you minister, speak life. Amen. That doesn't mean we're condoning sin. God forbid. I, as much as any minister, as against sin. Amen. But if you take a 2x4 and beat somebody over the head until they repent, they're probably not going to repent. But if you can show to them and prove to them, you don't have to have this lifestyle. There is a better way. Can I get a testimony? Can you agree with me this morning? There's a better way. And that is living for the Lord Jesus Christ. This is when Jesus cried out loudly. That's what he said he cried. The Amplified Bible says he shouted loudly. He wanted this particular part heard. He wanted them to know what he was saying. This is when the Lord commanded him to speak. And he began to tell them, I know what the Lord has told me to speak. I know what he has guided me to tell you. And that is that you can have life everlasting. What's wrong with telling somebody when they come up and tell you, man, it's just hopeless. I don't see any way out of it. My life is a mess. I can't believe in anything anymore. And rather than you putting your arm around and say, bless your heart, poor pitiful you, why don't you say, you know what? It doesn't have to be that way. You can have life and have life everlasting. Speaking hope into somebody. I think children of God ought to be encouragers. Amen. We ought to, because the Lord, if the Lord did it for me, he'll do it for you. The Bible says, whosoever. Let any man hear. Amen. That means to me that we got a lot of candidates out there.
Come on.
A lot of candidates that maybe the church wouldn't qualify. But Jesus would. If I had waited on the church to qualify me, I'd have never gotten the church.
Come on, man.
But Jesus qualifies us through the infilling of his Spirit.
Amen.
I want to close this morning and going to the book of 1 John. Chapter number 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. You want your joy to be full? Become a believer. Confess your sins to Jesus. Ask him to come into your life. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. One interpretation says, no unhappiness or no gloominess. Amen. Because there's joy in serving Jesus.
Amen.
I know we preach the cross and amen to the cross. I know we preach the blood of Jesus and thank God for the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
I know we preach the crucifixion, and as gory and as horrible and as terrible as all of that was, thank God for crucifixion. But let us never fail to follow that up with the resurrection. For just as important as the crucifixion. Because we were reminded yesterday that there has been a countless number of Jewish men crucified, but only one arose. Only one came victorious out of the tomb, is alive and well today. He is our hope. He is our Savior. He will transform your life. And aren't you glad he came forth as a Savior, not a judge, but as a Savior? Amen. He bled and died for us when he could have very easily said, they brought it on themselves, let them suffer the consequences. But he spoke life to us. He spoke life to me. He'll speak life to you this morning. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And as we receive that life, let us in turn speak life to others.
Come on.
I will assure you, I used the word candidates earlier. I will assure you, whether you realize it or not, there is a countless number of candidates out there right now that need you or someone to speak life to them. Again, don't misunderstand. Speaking life doesn't mean to condone their lifestyle. Jesus didn't condone the lifestyle of sinners, but he didn't just write them off either. Amen. He didn't compromise with them. The word that he spoke was straight. It was straightforward and it was truth. But he loved them. Just love them. Love those that are lost. Speak life to them. Speak life to one another when you're encouraging one another. Never let a fellow Christian say there's just no hope. Never let that be the last sentence. There's always hope in Christ. Amen. Amen. Speak life. Somebody, somewhere, needs to hear it. Would you stand? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Every saint of God praying. As we remind you, this altar's never closed. We never open the altar at the end of the service. It's never closed. It's always open. If you have a need, please come. If you have not accepted Jesus, please come. If you need a refreshing in your life, please come. If you have a need whatsoever this morning, this is your opportunity. Heavenly Father, we thank you, we praise you, we love you this morning. God, help us to understand the importance of speaking life. Life everlasting, and that it is attainable. Not through our works, not through our efforts, not even through our own righteousness, but through a born-again experience with you. We thank you for that. And Father,